Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for this privilege, this opportunity and this honor, Lord, of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. We thank you for the truth. I thank you for the power of the truth. I thank you for the power of love. I thank you, Father, that you make it available to us in Christ Jesus. Grant us now the wisdom to speak and to hear your word, that we might be blessed according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, the love of many will turn into a cold. We'll find out now why the lack of power causes inflammations, causes nasal problems, causes mucus problems, and literally just makes a snot out of you. I mean, or exposes the fact that you were as such prior to my standing up here. Now, I think you realize that I started this series of messages just, it seems like, years ago. So I had no way of knowing where we would be tonight and what we would be covering, but God did. Now, the first part of your love waxing cold is being separated from the love, from the power. If you remember, the word separate literally means to put an empty space or a short circuit between the source and the receptacle. And the analogy is electrical power. In other words, God love must be grounded. As long as you are grounded in his love, you will never ever be again without the power of the living God. So it's important to know what this ground is, or in this case, who it is and what it is. Ground, by definition, just by way of review, means a conducting body. So it is a body that conducts. Now, I've got a body. Amen. I've got a body. Amen for the body. Do I hear it for the body? Amen. But you see, being just a body isn't enough. It must be a conducting body. And in order to be a conducting body, it has to be connected with the earth, whose potential is taken as zero. Which means I'm smart enough, or at least I've grown smart enough to realize that I can neither add nor take away one thing from your life. As an individual, I can do nothing. As a conductor, as a medium, as an individual to fill that empty space so that the power of God flows into you, your family, your life, and all that you possess, to that degree, yes, much can be done with me, but I can't do anything. So to be ground, you must be a conducting body connected to the earth, whose potential is taken as zero, to which an electric current can be connected. Now, it's important to understand this. It is an electric current. You get the point. It is an electric current. It's not an electric past or an electric future. Yes, yes. No power in the future. You can wish, worry all you want. No power in the past, worrying, feeling resentment, because that isn't current. And in order for it to be electric, in order for it to be powerful, in order for it to be God, it must be an electric current. So let's start on that frame right away. Now, in order for you to ground something, you must be a conductor. And a conductor, besides the things we've already talked about, is a person who conducts. If you have no conductor in your life, if you are the one who makes all of your decisions without ever consulting the Lord, then you have no conductor. You have no one between you and the empty space. No one between you and God. Now, you're smart enough to know that Jesus is in heaven. You are on earth. That leaves an empty space between you and he. In this case, a short circuit. So there needs to be someone, a conducting body, a conductor between you, the empty space, and the sun. S-O-N. And S-U-N, too. So to be a conductor, you must conduct. You must be a leader, a guide, and a manager. Also, it means the person who's in charge of passengers and collects fares on a train or bus. I neglected to mention this morning that the real important thing I collect, that's secondary. The money is secondary. If it's not there, I'll go out and earn it. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. I have a conducting body, and this body can do whatever it needs to do in order to provide. So what I'm really trying to collect this evening as the conductor, please pay attention. If you don't pay attention, I have to take you back where I got you from. That's the rule. Now, in order for you to be a conductor, you must conduct electricity. Or you must know what electric means. The word electric, as I said this morning, the root word is the sun, S-U-N. But the word, the actual word that translates sun is electron. Electric comes from the word electron. So it's electron, electric, but the definition is the sun. But it's electron spelled with a K. So now the word electron or electric means to be charged with electricity, to be operated by electricity. In other words, electric is like a battery, is charged with electricity, and your lights work by electricity. But the lights, the battery does not conduct, it does not transfer the electricity to the lights by itself, and vice versa. The lights can't go to the battery and get the electricity. There must be a conductor. There must be a wire that's grounded, or you cannot transfer the power from the battery to the light. And I would like for you to be able to say, let there be light.
Amen.
Because you'd be blind.
Amen.
But electric also means a substance which does not conduct electricity, but can be used to store an electrical charge, as in a battery. Now, in order to understand how you can tap, what's absolutely necessary to tap into the love of God, to the power of God, to the electric power of God, you need to know how God created you. Now, you are created of atoms. And these atoms have three components. Electrons, which are negatively charged. Protons, which are positively charged. And neutrons, which are uncharged.
Right.
Now, here's the way it works. The electrons, which are negatively charged, is your flesh. It says no to everything. The protons are positively charged, and that's your soul. Isn't it? Sure, I'll do right. I want to go, and I want to be a good, I want to be everything. The neutrons, your spirit, is uncharged. It can go either way. So you see, the spirit always, or the soul always wants to do right. The flesh always wants to do wrong, and the spirit is the swing vote. It's the uncharged particle. So there's a negative charge, a positive charge, and an uncharged portion, which can go either way. Now, here's what happens. If you look at your battery, in order to receive and store electricity, there must be a negative post and a positive post, or there is no storage or transference of electricity. Now, how do we get that? Why do we have to have a negative and a positive particles in order to receive the power? Because you're just like a battery. Now, in order to receive the power of God, you must confess all the negative. I'm going to say that again. You got a negative post now, negative particles. You want the power of God, but you want to believe you're perfect. And nothing's your fault, and there is not a negative post in your skinny, runty little body. Not a bit. There's no negative there. Oh, now it's everywhere else, of course. But you have no negative. However, you are adequately equipped with positive particles. Oh, yes, you're right about everything. So, you see, having no negative particles, no negative post, you're powerless. Because my God and my Father said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, confession is necessary and repentance is necessary for the remission of sins. So in order for you to have the power of God, you must have a negatively charged portion or a negative post, a positively charged portion or a positive post, and an uncharged or a neutron, an uncharged portion of particles. Now, I deal with people all the time who are always professing positive about themselves and negative about everybody else. And then they will say, well, I'm not going to speak negative anymore. But they don't speak positive either. So you see, you either have all negative or all positive. Now, to begin with, you are all positive. You were positive, you were right, and you were positive, everyone else was wrong. So there was no negative. Now you say, oh, okay, I'm wrong. Now I realize, I understand. So I'm not going to speak that stuff anymore, but now you won't speak positive. Most of all, you just won't say anything. You just clam up and go hide in a corner somewhere. So your poor, uncharged neutrons are saying, give me a break. Get a life, will you? See, that's what you're made up of. Now understand this. The sun, the ultraviolet rays from the sun, will do you a lot of good if you are set up with a positive, a negative, and an uncharged portion of particles. Assuming also that you're not thin-skinned. Now, I will also share with you this evening why some people burn and others only change color. Some only tan and some burn. I'll say, well, it's the color of my hair and the color of my skin. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The real cause of the susceptibility of some people to the ultraviolet rays of the sun has nothing to do with the color of their hair or their skin. It is the layer or the thickness of the epidermis, the skin. So if you are thick-skinned or thick epidermis, you tan. If you are thin-skinned, you burn. Now, it is just a biological reality that most fair-haired, fair-complexioned people are also thin-skinned. But that's not necessarily the case. I believe that most people are that way because they've been told that's the way they are, and then that's the way they become. So you see, there is no... See, everything in God's creation testifies of the truth. So now let's go back to the sun, the electron. Now, to understand the importance of this power in our lives, the sun, light, electricity, they're all synonymous, you need to learn a little bit something about the sun. The sun, Jesus Christ, and the sun, and you'll see some amazing correlations. They're identical. The sun is physical, Jesus Christ is spiritual, and the sun in the skies has the same function physically that Jesus Christ in the spirit has spiritually. First of all, the sun is a source of light and heat that's indispensable to life on the earth. No life exists without the light and the heat of the sun. Sounds like Jesus Christ. There is no life outside of Jesus. As the central body of the solar system, the sun is uniquely important to man. Without Jesus Christ, there's nothing. He's most important of all. Now understand this, the sun, its mass determines the motion of the earth. In other words, the size of the sun is what controls the motion of the earth. Now you and I cannot change the size of the sun, S-U-N, so the motion of the earth is beyond our control. It travels in its orbit, it revolves on its axis, and it tilts on its axis. Beyond our control, because it's the mass of the sun, the size of the sun, the density, the mass that controls the motion of the earth. But I'm earth too. So the bigger Jesus becomes, the more he controls me. The smaller Jesus is in my life, the more I'm out of control. So you see, if you can't say no to the things you want to say no to, you're out of control. You know what the problem is? Jesus doesn't live big in your heart. Not enough mass. He's not big enough. He isn't central to your life. Because the mass of the physical sun controls the motion of the whole earth. The seasons are everything depends on the size of the physical sun to maintain life on this earth as we know it. If the sun one day should become smaller, we'd freeze to death, just like that. If it would become larger, we'd roast, just like that. So you see, it's important that he stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. But unfortunately, we do have the capability, the susceptibility, and the desirability of messing with the size of the truth in our life. Amen. Sometimes the truth is big in your life, and that's when it's on your side. Oh yes, then the mass of the Lord Jesus Christ controls your motion. But the minute the truth does not favor you, then he becomes a star far, far away in a galaxy far, far away, and a long time ago as well. Now again, the mass of the sun determines the motion of the earth, and the energy it radiates continuously. It doesn't sleep, it doesn't stop ever. This continuous radiating of energy is indispensable to all forms of life upon the earth. There's no way that we can subsist and continue to exist if Jesus would fall down, if the sun would stop for just a minute, it would throw everything out of kilter. Now, understand this now, how much power we have at our disposal. Every square yard of the sun's surface, every square yard now, which is what, 36 by 36? That's a square yard? I have these brilliance headaches now and then, but they pass. Every square yard of the sun's surface is continuously radiating energy at a rate equivalent to 70,000 horsepower. Now understand what I'm saying here. This is the power of Jesus Christ. Physically, we can't measure the spiritual power. This is just the physical manifestation of the sun's power in our life physically. For every square yard of the sun's surface, 70,000 horsepower of energy is radiating continuously, constantly, and just at the same level, 70,000. Seven, of course, yeah, of course, well, sure. 70,000 horsepower per square yard, 24 hours a day, every day from now on. That's the power. Also, the sun's central temperature is about 25 million degrees. That'd be hot. That's a lot of energy, and that's a lot of heat. Now you say, well, yeah, a square yard, yeah, so it's a lot of energy. Well, what would you expect? It's God. When you stop to consider that the sun's mass is 333,000 times that of the Earth, that'd be a big ball. That's a big hot ball. I mean, great balls of fire, Jerry Lee. Now, do you understand? Are you starting to get even a little inkling of the power of the living God? And you think with that massive amount of power that he's chosen to demonstrate, he can't even show himself, because if we saw God himself, it'd fry you. So he shows us a little bit of himself in the sun. 70,000 horsepower per square yard, and it has a mass 333,000 times more than the Earth. And a central temperature of about 25 million degrees. Amazing. Blistering, burning hot. However, when those rays leave the sun and travel through the through space, where there is no air, no spirit, you freeze buns. You will literally freeze, you'll crystallize, you're gone. But the minute those rays reach the earth, where there's air, spirit, it radiates and turns back into the exact warmth that we need to sustain life. So without spirit, the sun's important, but what are you going to do without spirit, friend? And then what are we going to do without a body to have the spirit in? Some ground, some earth. So you see this, and understand this, the higher the elevation you get to, go up in the mountains, there's more rarefied air or thinner air or less spirit. So therefore you become more susceptible to the rays of the sun and you burn easier. But conversely, it's also colder up there. Why? Less atmosphere, less radiation, less warmth. Isn't it amazing that we can start out with 25 million degrees, turn into sub-zero centigrade something, I don't know, that'll just crystallize your buns. They'll just crack and fall apart. I swear to you, I didn't even think of that one. I swear as God is my witness. Oh, Lord, help me. What was that, brother? Oh boy. Well, you know, even though it was unintended, it was kind of funny. I hate it when that happens when I don't plan it, because I lose my train of thought. Okay, now let me tell you now what happens physically when you're exposed to the sun. I'm just going to tell you physically, and then I'll make a spiritual analogy. Sunburn is a dermatitis caused by the exposure to the ultraviolet rays of the sun. Now, everybody knows that. In its extreme forms, it causes blisters, pain, and swelling. but only to the exposed parts. Now that's physical now. Thin-skinned people, who are usually inclined to be fair-skinned, blonde or redhead, will burn more easily, while thick-skinned people will tan. But you see, they don't burn more easily because of the color of their hair or their skin, because there are many, many dark-haired, dark-skinned individuals who are also thin-skinned. So see, cancer of the skin doesn't really play any favorites. It's being thin-skinned. Well, why are some people thin-skinned while others are thick-skinned? They can stand more exposure to light. Well, because they're thin-skinned spiritually, they're thin-skinned physically. And the word thin skin, now if this suit fits you, put it on. Thin-skinned means easily hurt by criticism. Very sensitive. Unwilling to hear anything that isn't positive, that isn't favorable about themselves. Thin-skinned people. And they're very easily burned by the truth. And they do get burned. Boy, you tell these people the truth and it burns them. They get upset, and they do blister, they do pain, and they do swell. But after it's all done, they get a fever and peel. That's a pathetic sight. But do you think the physical sun affects people that way because they're thin-skinned, and there's no correlation between the emotional and the spiritual? You're very foolish if that's what you believe. So you see, the sun has a real effect on us, but your ability to receive the truth, to receive the light, to receive the exposure of the light is in direct proportion to how thin-skinned you are, which is also impacted by just how much spirit are you surrounded by. The less spirit, the more emotionalism, the more flesh, the less spirit, the more you're going to get burned. You're constantly mad, constantly upset, constantly emotional, constantly angry for some very obvious reasons. Number one, you're thin-skinned, and number two, you ain't got no spirit about you, friend. Because you see, if you had some spirit, that air, that atmosphere protects us. There's some very important elements in the atmosphere that protect us from exposure to the naked ultraviolet rays. Now, you know what's happening in the world now. We are causing a big hole in the ozone layer. Why? Because we are polluting the air, and it's destroying our protection. So every time you light one up or you snort one, what are you doing? You are destroying your spiritual ozone. And what's going to happen is the truth is going to burn you, friend, and burn you bad. And it isn't because God is pointing at you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The sun doesn't change. It doesn't change for you one way or the other. If you're thin-skinned, the same sun that'll tan the individual next to you will burn your buns. So you see, there's no change in the sun. It's in your ability to receive either beneficially or negatively what the sun is putting out, what the truth, the light and the energy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, you're punishing yourself. God doesn't punish. How could he punish you for what you've done wrong when he already paid for what you did wrong? What's he collecting from himself twice? The fact of the matter is, he's the same. He does not change. And the problem is really with you. And you have two problems. Number one, you're thin-skinned. And number two, you don't have any spirit protecting you. So the exposure of the light and the truth burns you up, causes a dermatitis, which ends up in blisters, pain, swelling, and fever. You got fever in the morning and fever all through the night. Used to be a little blonde girl sat right there. They used to roll in the aisles every time I said that. I don't know why. That really got to her for some reason. Now, every now and then I think about it, and then a friend sitting back there, she was all right too. God's love must be grounded. Now, in order for there to be a ground, there must be a connection with an electric current. So in order for the power of God to work, number one, it must be electric. That's God's part. He's already taken care of that. And number two, you must be connected to an electric current. So we have to find out. Now, electric, as you know, means a sun, source of heat, source of light, source of energy. But it has to be, that's electric, but it has to be an electric current. Now, the word current, besides something that's running and flowing, literally means what is now going on. What is now in progress, what's going on at the present time, what's passing from person to person right now, what is circulating now. The word current means also the rate of flow of electric charge in a conductor or medium between two points, and I think it's rated in amperes, if I'm not mistaken. So you see, this electric current, this power, this electricity is worthless if it isn't current. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing as power that isn't a current. There is no electrical past, no electrical future, no electrical maybe, no electrical sometime. There's only electrical current. So for there to be power, it has to be used on what is going on now, what's in progress now. Now the problem is that some of you are thinking about next week and you're not thinking about what's going on right now. And then when you get to next week and you should be thinking about what's going on then, you'll be thinking about something else. So see, there's nothing current about your electricity. You don't have an electrical current. Well, now if Jesus is the power, then he is the current. Now if he's current, if he's the current, then he better be current. And if I want to tap into his power, then I better be current. And then we connect the current, current to current. Well, let's find out if Jesus is current. Turn to John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am current. This I am, this word am, means present tense. Before Abraham was, I was present tense. I was present tense then, I'm present tense now. In other words, Jesus is present tense. It means literally, am means from the Greek, to be present tense. So we look up the word be, and it means to have existence, truth, and actuality. In other words, for the power of God to work, the truth has to have existence, truth, and actuality at the time, whatever you want to use it on, is going on. You can't sit and talk about it here and amen it, come here and tell me about it afterwards and amen it, and then go home, and when it's current, when it's time to use it, sing a different tune. Because then it's no longer current. Because it's no longer current, it's no longer electric, and because it's no longer electric, it is no longer the sun, and because it is no longer the sun, it is no longer the truth, and because it is no longer the truth, it is no longer Jesus, and because it is no longer Jesus, it is no longer God, and therefore it is no longer love, and your love has waxed cold. Just by not being current. But it also has to be present tense. You see, God said, I am present tense. Jesus said, I am. Present means existing or happening now. Jesus said, I am present, I am existing, and I am happening now. Where are you? You're never in the present, or almost never. Present also means that it is in progress. The truth, Jesus, is in progress in what's happening now. So you see, you have this vast potential of tapping into the power of Jesus Christ, but only if you're applying it to what's happening now with you. You cannot take this power and jumpstart your wife. You do not come with cables. This power is for you. And it's for what's going on in you and you right now, what's in progress right now. But we try to use this power to get the people around us to do what we want. It's like you want everybody to be your puppet. And these strings, these cables, these wires are for what's going on with you. Present means that is now being discussed, now being considered, now being written, and now being read. In other words, pay attention to the sermon. Present means paying attention. When you say at school, present, you lie. Yeah. You lie. Because present means to be paying attention. And you don't pay attention. That's why you don't learn anything. Maybe I ought to start taking roll. And call your name and have you say, here. There, everywhere, somewhere, anything but present. Present also means the present time, the present occasion, the present words and the present writings. In other words, that's all you're geared to deal with is what's going on in front of you right now. You start worrying about what's going to happen next week. Well, I'm not seeing enough progress. I'm looking forward, and I look at the past now, and it didn't happen as fast as I wanted to, and I look at the future, and oh, what's going to happen? Everywhere but in the present. You have no current. You have no power. You have no juice. But your light's out. Present means to bring a person into the presence of and introduce formally to another. Oh, I want you to be close to Jesus, to the truth. And present finally means to give as a gift. Present means a gift. See, the biggest present that we have is the present. The only present we have is the present. The present is the present. I present you the present as a present. At the presentation. The presenter to the presentee presents you the present as a present from the presenter. All of that, notice, has nothing to do with the past or the future. But there is somebody that lives there. If Jesus is in the present, then where's all this tribulation, distress? Where is the devil? Where's all this bad stuff? We know it's somewhere. And we know Jesus occupies everything that he occupies because he's omnipresent. Now understand this. If Jesus is omnipresent, if God is omnipresent, that means he's everywhere. And if something is everywhere, then there is no room for something else to be in the everywhere that the something is already everywhere in. So now understand what I'm trying to tell you here. In the present, Jesus is everywhere. He's omnipresent, means there's no one place in the present that he isn't. Now we know there's a lot of bad things. There's sickness, there's disease, there's poverty, there's distress, there's anger, there's depression, a lot of bad things. But where are they? They cannot be in the present because Jesus is omnipresent. He takes up all the present. He takes up every space, every molecule, every particle. There's not a micrometer, there's not a millimeter of anything where anything wrong can squeeze in to the present, because then God couldn't be omnipresent. Understand this principle now. I'm trying to tell you something's going to save your life. So in the present, Jesus, the truth, is omnipresent, which means he takes it all up. Now, for you to get depressed, for you to get sick, for you to get angry, for you to get anything wrong, you got to be somewhere but in the present. Amen. Now, understand this. Those things can't come into the present, and the present doesn't go to those things. But you have the ability, and I use the term loosely, it's not really ability, I call it a disability, but you know, you have it. You can go from the present to this other place and back and forth at will. Now understand this, God can't. And when I say he can't, I'm not saying he lacks the ability, he won't. And Satan can't because he doesn't have the ability. So Satan cannot come into the present. Jesus won't go into the past. So there's two clearly defined domains or dominions or kingdoms. And you can tell which one you're in by your condition. Because you see, those conditions didn't come to you. You went to the condition. So now if Jesus is present tense, and he is God, and he is, and he's omnipresent, and he is, that means he occupies all of the present. So whenever you come moaning and groaning and complaining, you have got to be thinking and talking about something that is not present. You don't deal with what you have. Oh yes, I've made a lot of progress in whatever it is, but it didn't. I'm looking at the past and it didn't look that good, and I'm looking at the future and that doesn't look so good. But yeah, I've made some progress. See, that's stupid thinking. So if you don't live in the present, then where do you live? Matthew 4:10. I thought we were going to be waxing cold here before the night's over, but maybe not. Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now look immediately what happens in verse 11 when Satan got hence. Then the devil leaveth him, went to hence, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Jesus. Up to that point, what was the problem? Satan, the devil, was in the present. Now, after Jesus passed the test spiritually, he still had a physical test to pass, physical restitution to make for you and I. But even at that point, he consigned the devil, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, the adversary, said, get hence. The minute he got hence, the angels came and ministered, provided all his needs. Now, look at all your needs. You ain't got what you need, friend.
And what is the problem? Somebody's in the hands. Now, Satan hasn't moved.
Yeah.
You have. And angels will not come and minister to you as long as you're not in the present. Now, how do some people stay out of the present? Well, you act and think according to the past. Because people have treated you in a certain way in the past, and you reacted to the way they treated you in the past. Now, no matter how we treat you, you still act the same way as you did in the past, because you're still in the past. And you think, I'm going to jump in the past and go get you and have Satan all over me too? Forget it. If Jesus won't go in there for you, what makes you think I will? There's just no way on this God's earth. But see, the problem is not with God. And look how it doesn't even have anything to do with your sin and what you think is wrong with you and your fault. It's just not knowing where you belong. It's not knowing where the land of rest is. Oh, I'm looking for the land of rest. Well, get in the present. Start dealing with what's right in front of you. Forget the past. Don't worry about the future. Stay right where you're at. And angels will minister to you. And Satan will be gone. Well, where is this hence place? Look up the word hence. It appears 30 times in the Bible. That includes the Old and the New Testament. But this word hence, this Greek word that this hence comes from, the other 29 come from totally different words. This is the only one that was translated. This is the only Greek word. This is the only Bible word in the whole Bible. The only root word interpreted hence, although it appears 30 times. So 29 other times it came from another root word. So this hence is specifically for Satan. This is his present. So we look up the word hence. And it means to withdraw or retire as if sinking out of sight.
Yeah.
Now, you've seen people do a Satan, get into hence. They just kind of sink and retire out of sight. You just kind of, they're just like a sunset. They're just sinking beyond the horizon. Well, you know where they're going? They're going away. They're going to hence. They're withdrawing. It means to withdraw or retire. I don't want to be a husband anymore. I'm retired. I don't want to be a father. I'm retired. I'm withdrawing from this responsibility. I don't want to be a wife. Right now, I don't want to be a wife. Why not? Because I need to vacuum. Now, when the vacuuming's done or something comes along, the vacuum fairy comes or something happens, and it's time to go out and eat, isn't it amazing? Boy, you got energy. Come Sunday at 12:15, you're a bundle of energy because we're going to go eat.
Amen.
And then I notice you out on the outings. These are the people who say, oh, I have such a hard life. I have to vacuum, self-propelled, radar-controlled vacuum cleaner that my husband paid $85 million for. Oh, that's such a hard job. And then I had to walk over and turn on the air conditioner. Such a drag. Then I sat in front of the 89,000 square inch TV set to watch my operas, and that was such a... And then fluffing up those pillows with the feathers and stuff. Gosh, that was hard. And then this refrigerator with food, I had to eat some of it. And then I walked into my luxurious bath and took a nice hot shower and went outside and just waited for Dopey to come home from work singing Hi-Ho, Hi-Ho, or Doc, or whatever mood he happens to be in. Moan, groan, and complain. But I watched you up in the mountains. I watched you up there. Davy Crockett couldn't have kept up with you. I mean, you did everything but start a fire Indian style by rubbing sticks together. We roughed it, and not a complaint. Oh, you just loved it up there. Some of you slept on the ground almost. I mean, intense, and then the rest of us were chattering now and then, and there was things, but everybody had a grand time. Why? Because everybody was in the present. But look at the circumstances that we were in. What if they would have brought you home and said, now you live in the parking lot, set up the tent out there. Isn't it all a frame of mind?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing what we will buy and what we will reject? So now this hence means to withdraw or retire, literally to go away. Well, to go away where? I mean, how can you go away somewhere if God is everywhere? See, I've always been told God is everywhere. No, he's not. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere that's present. It doesn't mean he's everywhere. I know where he isn't. He isn't in the hence. If you take the time and the trouble to look up the word hence, and you don't have to because I did it for you, you will find, or believe me that that's what you'll find either way, that hence means after right now. It means away from this time, away from this place, away from this life, and for this reason. That's what hence means. It means after now, away from this time, either forward or backward, away from this place, away from this life. Now, what life? This life. The life in Christ Jesus, eternal life, right now life. Hence means get away. Get away from my life. Get away from my presence. Get away from my time. Get away from my place. Get out of my sight, in other words. So you see, as long as you stay in the present, then you are in his presence because he is omnipresent. Now, how can bacteria, sickness, disease, get into your body and create a problem if it has to stay away from the present? What does that mean? You had to go either to the future or the past. You're worrying about something that you think might happen, which your mind went there, your spirit went there, or you're reacting to something that happened in the past, so you went to a place where there is no protection. You went to the only place where Jesus Christ is not present. He's not omnipresent. How can you be omnipresent in the past? Present and past are contradictory terms. They're mutually exclusive. You cannot be in the present and in the past because one term excludes the other. It's like trying to be in night and day at the same time. The minute it's night, it's no longer day. And when it's day, it's no longer night. Night and day cannot happen at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. The same is true of the present and the past. They are mutually exclusive. Now, what happens when you do something happens that causes you to do something that you don't want to do? Well, you had to take your mind into the past or into the future, and then you were affected by their adversely, either physically, emotionally, or psychologically, and then you come back to the present, look in the mirror, and say, oh my God, what have I done? You see, because the fruit's always in the present. Yeah. That's the irony of the whole thing. I mean, you got to come back to the present. And then when you get back, that's when you look in the mirror and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. What have I done? Well, what you did is you went to the hence. You went where the enemy has dominion and domain. Now understand this. Satan has dominion. He has domain. He rules the hence. Now let me tell you something. I don't think you would want to go, I don't know what country, I guess it'd be most countries. Let's just say Iraq right now. I don't think you'd want to go to Baghdad and announce your allegiance to the United States of America and sing God Bless America in downtown Baghdad. Because there's someone in power there, that is the dominion of the arch enemy of the United States of America and all Americans. I mean, they hate America and Americans with a passion. Now, you're smart enough not to go to downtown Baghdad dressed like that Macho Camacho fool last night with flags and stars and things jumping all over the place, because you wouldn't last 10 seconds. Because there is someone there who rules. He has absolute power and authority, and he hates the very sight of you, the mention of you. He'd love to get you, but he can't unless you go to his dominion. There he can do whatever he wants. Now, you're smart enough not to go there, I hope. But you see, Saddam Hussein is a piker. He's a nothing compared to the arch enemy of good, Satan, the devil. And there you go, singing your allegiance to Jesus and all this things that you've learned that are true, but they're for the present. And then when you go to the after now, away from this time, away from this place, away from this life, and things go into the toilet, then you come back to the present. Inevitably, you have to. And then that's where you reap the fruits of all this foreign material that you got somewhere else. And then you ask Jesus Christ to heal you, and he will. And the first thing you do is you get back into the present. And immediately the sickness, the disease, whatever's wrong is gone. And before you know it, you're roaming back again and getting infected all over again. Understand this, the devil is trapped in hence. Jesus, by his own mandate, has consigned himself to the present. He said, I am the I am. He said that to Moses in the bush, and he said it now to these people in the Gospels. He was the I am then, he's the I am then, and he's the I am now. So Jesus is in the present time. So you see, here's the whole scope of this. The devil is trapped in hence. That's not your problem. Jesus has consigned himself to the present. That you have no control over. Here's the big question. Where are you? Amen. And that's so easy to tell. If you have what Satan gives, then you're in the hence. And if you only have what Christ gives, then you're in the present. Or if you have a little of both, then you're a fence jumper. So the question is, where are you? And you can always tell, because in the hence you fail, and in the present time you succeed. So to the degree that you fail, to that degree you're in the hence. To the degree that you succeed, to that degree you're in the present time. So you see, it really doesn't have a thing in the world to do with God's judgment or Satan's awesome power to attack and do this. He has nothing. He's a pig in a cesspool. Now, if you jump in the cesspool with the pig, you're going to stink as bad, but it wasn't his power to put. He has nothing. He stinks like you do. You see, you really didn't do anything but just join him. He had no power to draw you in there other than seducing power. The power and the ability to pervert the truth. And even that he had to depend on you for. So you fail in the hence, and you succeed in the future. And I'm not going to be able to get to wax cold. So Wednesday, you're going to find out about how you get colds, why you get inflammations, how it happens, what the vapors are, evaporation. You're going to find out about fog and mist certain steam, hypochondria, all from the word wax, or the words, the phrase, wax cold. You're going to find out why your temperature goes up and down. You're going to find out why your body tries to compensate, because you are losing fluids through evaporation. And you're waxing cold because you heat it up.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? In order to get cold, you have to heat up.
Yeah.
Everything but medium, everything but being in the middle, everything but being constant, the extremes. Extremists are the sickliest people on the face of this earth. Because they're always one extreme or the other. You never find these people in the present. They're extremely gone to the future or extremely embedded in the past. They're never in the middle. They're never where they are. They're either extremely friendly or they'll spit daggers at you with their eyeballs. One extreme or the other. They're never in the middle. And understand this again. If you want the angels to come and minister to you, if you want your needs taken care of, if you want your bills paid, if you want all your gifts protected, you better keep them in the present. Because that's where the angels minister. And what is it every time we counsel? I try to get you out of the past and into the present. And the first thing you will do is deny. And you know what another word for denial is? Negative. Negative means no. Positive means yes. So you see, there has to be a yes and a no. There has to be. So how do we get the power? Yes to the truth and no to the lie. So what's the opposite of that? What's the problem? You say yes to the lie and no to the truth. So what do you need? Someone to come and tell you you're saying yes to the wrong thing and no to the wrong thing. Very simple job for me. Very simple job for you. It's very simple all the way around. The problem again is that you simply do not understand how love happens. In closing, let me say this. When it's true love, when it's God's love between a man and a woman, you will see their negative and their positive. He will see her negative and her positive, and there'll still be a transference of power. But the minute the husband gets all positive, see, you got husbands, you got a positive, you got a negative. Wife, you're another battery. You got a positive and you got a negative. As long as that's constant, power is going to flow. Jesus is going to work. The truth is going to work. You've got a positive, you've got a negative. You've got faults, you've got good qualities. She's got faults, she's got good qualities. Positive and negative in both works. She confesses her faults. She thanks God for her strengths. You confess your faults. You thank God for your strength. Wham, power. Here's what happens. You take your negative, give it to her, take her positive. Now you've got two positive, she's got two negatives, and neither one of you have enough power to light up the bathroom.
That's right.
You took away her positive, friend. And because you have the authority, you will always take the best one of the two, and obviously the best one is positive. So you end up with a man with two positives and a woman with two negatives. Then you'll end up with a woman who's all right and her children are always wrong. So she has two positives, the children have two negatives. And then someone will come, the teacher or someone come and say, your child did this or that. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Two negatives for you, two positives for my child. So you see, after a while, this child says, what in the world? I don't understand what I am or where I am. It takes two, one of each, or you will not receive the power of the living God. For God's sake, claim back your negative
It's the only way you're going to confess, the only way you're going to know what's wrong with you. And it's the only way you're going to stay in the present, and it's the only way the enemy can't get to you. All my gifts, thank God, I'm keeping them in the present as God is my witness, based on the strength and the word of Jesus Christ. I will not get into the past. I will not go to the future. I want the angels to minister to me. I want my stuff protected. I want me protected. I don't care how hard I work, how long I work. There ain't no bacteria, no virus, no sickness, no disease is going to get to me. Not because I'm strong, not because I'm Mighty Mouth. That's what they used to call me at the Department of Labor. Mighty Mouth. I got to talk them all under the table. But it isn't because I'm strong, it isn't because I'm special, it's just because I've understood where they are. And I'm not going where they are. As God is my witness, as long as His power is upon me, I will not go where they're at.
Amen.
And they can't come where I'm at.
Amen.
So see, the problem is solved. Now, I don't care what, look at yourself, look at whatever you don't want. Mental, physical, I don't care if it's weight, I don't care what it is. If you don't want it, take it back with you. Send it to hence. Don't be dealing with it. You stay in the present. And in the present, where Jesus is, everything has to work right. Now you watch things that are wrong melt away. Watch them get thee hence. Because Jesus said, get thee hence. You're overruling Him. You're bringing from hence into the present things that don't belong. You're allowing God to be circumvented by Satan using you to bring sickness into the present, disease and poverty. And you have no right to do that. I don't even think you had a desire. I hope not. I hope this has taught you something, because it sure taught me a lot. Now come Wednesday, what's today, Sunday, Wednesday, we're going to do some evaporation. I'm going to show you how amazing that works. I'm going to show you the correlation between that and condensation, and how the atmosphere works, and how the oceans purify, and then condensation takes it up, and the clouds carry it across, and then drops this pure water, and then God stores it in the mountains like a refrigerator, and it comes down clean and pure, and we wash, and we drink, and then we dump it all, and it goes into the salt, and it's purified, and it goes up again, and here it comes again. And if you would learn, if you would treat your own system the same way, it will purify itself. And always your fluids, your liquids will be pure, and you'll have long life, vigor and vitality. But you see, you got to understand how the system works, and who created it, and why it works that way. And don't mess with it. And if you don't, you'll live a long, prosperous life. And Jesus will be able to use you until He comes back. If not, we'll get you a nice little chair with wheels on it, and you watch the rest of us as we enjoy. We'll always take you with us, though. And we'll find a nice shady spot for you. And we'll sit you under a tree with the nice breezes wafting through your whatever hair you have left. And as your teeth fall out, we'll get you a straw. Even a siphon pump. We'll pump the juice into you. We'll not abandon you. But if you want to live that way, helpless, unable to cope, you go right ahead. We'll not abandon you. But if you want to do that to yourself, you go right ahead. All I can do is warn you and tell you there's a better way. In the absence of that, the choice is yours. Get the hints, come get the present. From the presenter in the present time. Brother Brad.